Yes, so bittersweet to be here in our last Sunday and to be preaching and saying goodbye at the same time. But we will continue with the series in Ephesians today, and the gospel is everything. So let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us about our identity, our new self. Father, we thank you that you have called us, Lord, by name, each one of us, and you have made us new in Jesus Christ. It's nothing of what we have done, Lord. It truly, we could not have done anything to deserve or to earn what you have done for us and who you have made us. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your love. And we pray now, Lord, that you would instruct us and show us, Lord, your will for us to live out this new life that you've given us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. A lot of you know me from before. We've been here for 12 years, and I was a little bit heavier. I was 90 kilos heavier. That's about 200 pounds. And so 3 years ago, I had bariatric surgery, and successful. And it was a life-changing experience. And now... The surgery was immediate, but the results of the surgery were not immediate, and it required a lot of work. I had to work really hard, and a lot of exercise, a lot of hours in the mountains, biking, running, and all of that. And in the last 3 years, I had to buy a whole new wardrobe. As you can see, the clothes that I used to wear do not fit me anymore. I had to put on new clothes. It would be really awkward for me to come here today wearing my old clothes of my old self. And so Hong Kongers are well known for their excellence in nailing tests. And this is a little bit old, but it still holds pretty true that most of the people that get perfect scores in IB around the world come from Hong Kong, and it's amazing. And when you want to prepare to take a test, you go through the list of right answers, and you memorize them, and you get ready for the test, and then you ace it. And so, if we come to the list that Paul just gave us in this text, and we think, oh, it's easy, I just have to memorize this list, and when the test comes, I'll just ace it. That's a very Hong Kong way to approach this message or this passage. But there's a danger in approaching this in this way. And you ask, why? Well, first of all, because we would be tempted to be trying to do the right thing, that is the virtue of these things, to do that on our own strength. And we could be tempted to use our own power to, when we face the test, ace it, just like an IB test. We also would miss, and that's the first point. The second point, we would miss the fact that to do the right thing, we need to be the right person. And so, how do we become the right person? Paul has given us in Ephesians a breakdown of his understanding of how this works. As we saw in the first three chapters of Ephesians, we've been studying the book of Ephesians here, we've seen that Paul continually emphasized the fact that we have a new identity in Christ, in Jesus. Therefore, we must sit. First, sit. As we can see, our nature, our old nature, it was deserving of one thing: wrath, death, condemnation. That's our old nature. However, Paul says very clearly, it's all God's doing because of his great love, because of his mercy. It is by his grace that now we can be seated with Christ as a new person, as a new self. As Nick said earlier, when Jesus finished the work, now he's not standing before the Father. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we are invited to sit with him because of who he has made us to be. So here's what Paul, in the first three chapters of Ephesians, talked about sitting. He said, you know, that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. In Him, adoption, redemption, forgiveness, grace upon, made known. Before, there was no way to know the truth, but now it's been made known to us. We obtain an inheritance. Before, we didn't have an inheritance. Now we do. That's the new self. And we are sealed in Him with Christ. Again, by grace, not by ourselves. We're brought near. We're no longer far from God. We're now brought near. And we have the access in one spirit to the Father. No longer strangers. Sure, the old self, we were strangers to God. We didn't know God personally. We had no understanding of God. But now we are no longer strangers of God's household. That means we live with God in His household. And we are heirs together. And that's very important. We're together heirs. And we are sharers together. And we can approach Him with freedom and confidence, rooted and established. So this is the part where Paul is saying you have to sit on these truths. But why sit? Because it's about identity. We have to embrace the identity of who we are now, this new creation. We're no longer the old creation. We are now this new creation. We have to sit on this truth. When you are sitting and you are clear in your mind, now you understand, oh, I am this new person in Christ. This new self, this new identity. This is the being, the new person. Now, Paul started with sitting. And then later on, Paul then introduces the walking. And that's the chapters 4 and 5 that we're on now. And look how over and over Paul says, walk, walk, show, persevere, walk, lay aside, put on, do not let, let no, let all, put away, walk, walk, walk. He's making a point. He's making a point. And the point is very important for us to get where it comes in his writing, because he started with, you have to be seated first. Understand who you are now. Because once you know who you are, you will be able to now walk in a certain way, in a certain manner. And then finally, Paul says, now you stand. Stand is the last part. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Again, the word put on, it's the same word that he's saying in today's scripture, the put on. It's the clothe yourself. So you put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devils and his schemes. Now, often we default to first we try to stand. We first try to fight the devil. We try to fight our temptations. We are like, oh, I'm going to stand firm and not let this overcome me. And then we try to walk the talk, as we say, right? Then you try to control the temptation, stand against the temptation. Then you try to not walk in temptation. So then you can rest and sit. And that's totally backwards. Paul is very clearly pointing that this is backwards. That is not how it is. So before we look at the list of all these wrong and correct answers for the test, if we're going to be tested, we must know what our preparation and the ability to do what is virtuous can only come from the Holy Spirit, can only come from the Spirit of God. In verse 19, Paul says that having lost all sensitivity, people habitually indulge in their vices. And the New American Standard actually says, having become callous. In 1 Timothy 4:2, Paul also is talking to Timothy, and he makes the point in saying that their minds seared their own conscience as with the branding iron. Now, what happens when we have a callus or after we like burn our skin, you lose feeling in that place. You lose feeling. If you have a callus on your foot, that place now is less sensitive. If you have burned your fingers, you know, if you went to pick something hot and you burn, that place that was seared is going to lose feelings for a while. So in verse 30, Paul tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The old self constantly and habitually shuts off the voice of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that as a new self, we cannot continue giving into the indulgence of the flesh. Because doing so will inevitably cause our minds to become less sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So the more we don't take the warnings of the Holy Spirit, the more the Holy Spirit tells us to do the right thing and we're like, I'll do my way, the less sensitive you will become to His voice. That's the point. So as Paul said to the Galatians, whenever we do not walk by the Spirit, we indulge and gratify the flesh. That's the two sides. Walk by the Spirit or indulge the flesh. So spiritual numbness is when we, as the believer, we're at that point in our lives where we stop moving ahead spiritually. We stop progressing spiritually. There is a spiritual numbness. Where the spiritual numbness, there is a spiritual blockage. Whenever you see spiritual numbness, you know, after so much of callousness towards the voice of the Holy Spirit, you will also see a spiritual blockage. Now I ask, are the vices of the first century Gentiles, you know, those were the pagans, the really bad people of the first century who do not believe in Jesus, are their vices the same vices of non-believers in a 21st century Hong Kong? Well, in first century, Paul singled out sensuality, impurity, and greed. Those are kind of the three big ones that he singled out. Now, what about the 21st century in Hong Kong? Well, most people in Hong Kong fear the future. Would you agree with me? Most people in Hong Kong fear the future. What about the future? Well, housing. Will there be housing? Will there not be housing? Are there too many people moving to Hong Kong? Are the prices going to go up? Am I going to have money to buy or to pay my mortgage? Or children's schooling. We see that list with the, you know, top IB scores in the world, and we think, my children that will be born in a few months, I need to enroll them already in school so that they can, you know, get to that school that will give them the perfect IB scores. And it's this constant worry about my children. What about retirement? Well, I don't know. Did I put enough money away? Did I invest? Did I put my eggs in many baskets? How is my portfolio? Is it strong? Is it very strong? What about the government? Oh, you know, what will happen? What will happen? How will it be governed? Will it be favorable to what I want to do? And those fears are just piling up in the people in Hong Kong. And add to that, experiencing mental fragility, mental health fragility. Or what about the cutthroat job opportunities and job promotions? You know, if I can cut you off so I can be promoted, I'll do it. It's a very Hong Kong thing. And discriminating against age or class. Well, you're too young. You're not ready for this. You're just too young. Or how about when we say, you know, well, you know, you come from what part of the city? Which schools did you go? Oh, so you don't understand. So you don't belong because your class is inferior. In Matthew 6:32, Jesus affirmed, for the pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Here Paul challenges us not to be like those who do not know God. People that do not know God, they fear these things. And it's part of their nature, right? It's part of their nature. You were taught with regard to your former ways of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in an attitude of your minds, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So just like the skinny herald should not be wearing the big clothes, under our new attitude in Christ, that we are like God in Christ, we should not have the same vices as non-believers of the 21st century in Hong Kong. That should not be in us. It's generally agreed that the list of virtues that Paul gives here in verses 25 to 32 refers to the proper loving relationships that promote unity in the body of Christ. So, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, Paul says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children." And again, the word walk. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Paul is echoing Jesus' words of John 13, 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Loving one another is a clear sign of putting on the new self. In a parallel letter to the Colossians, Paul also said, "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." At the beginning of Ephesians 4, Paul argues that because we are one body, and this body is the body of Christ, no longer my body, it's the body of Christ, we ought to live in perfect unity in the bond of love. This unity belongs to the old self, the pagan way. Unity demonstrates that we live as a new self, the Jesus way. Whereas the foundation for the vices of the flesh is selfishness, remember when, again, Nick said earlier, you know, S-I-N, I, the selfishness of the I, the foundation of these vices is this, that selfishness. The foundations of the virtues of the Holy Spirit is love for our neighbor. It's loving another person. It's loving our neighbor. The outward and other focused demonstration of being dressed as a new self, Christ-like, is that relationships foster unity. Our relationships, they are just fostering unity. Also, that we seek to benefit others. It's no longer about me, and my benefit. What am I going to get out of this? I come to church. What is the church going to provide me? Will the church provide me a good experience in singing worship songs? Will the church provide me a good experience in learning more about the Bible? It's a very me-focused attitude. But the example here is that we seek to benefit others. We promptly seek reconciliation. Now, you might think, oh, I don't have any problems, really. I'm at peace with everybody. Well, here's the thing. The more you serve together with people, the more chances there will be of conflict. So if you're feeling like there's not a lot of conflict, how about try to serve a little more in the church? And then you're going to be serving with people that are not in the same thought as you. And then you're going to have to experience some conflict. And then when you experience those conflicts, you're going to also seek reconciliation, just as the new self requires. We genuinely invite others into our fellowship. That's one of the things that we love about Sha Tin Church. that generally we are invited into other people's lives in fellowship. It's the reason why we came and stayed. We came to visit one Sunday and we never left 12 years ago. And we built the church, the community of saints. Now, this is not only links groups for Bible study, but this is helping one another in their needs, including the need for fellowship and for companionship. It's not just when we come together, we study the Bible so we know more about the Bible. That's one element, but this building up of the church is being on each other's lives, in the good and the bad. And we know that we have bad days and we have good days, and we need people from our fellowship, from our church family, to be there with us. That's why Sha Tin Church's vision is to be a church that's growing in Jesus, sharing lives, and reaching the world. As you can see, if you don't have yet the weekly emails that come in with the service, this comes every week for me on Saturday night. And it's very clearly that our goal at Sha Tin Church is to share lives. And that belongs to the new self. That is an element of walking and putting on the new self. So how can it be possible to display the evident sign of being a new self? Well, ethical living is not necessarily unique to Christianity. We know this. Besides Confucianism, which has a heavy focus on virtues, we also have, for example, Marxism. The Marxists used to talk about the creation of the new man. Lenin wrote in 1919, "The workers are building the new society without having turning themselves into new men who would be free from the dirt of the world. They are still in it up to their knees." So what Lenin was complaining here is that we're trying to be a new person, but we're not. We're not, because where we are, remember the city that Paul talked about? They're still sitting in filth and dirt. So if we, without becoming a new person, try to do the new person's things, it doesn't work. Because why? Because your nature hasn't been changed yet. You're still, and Lenin said knee-high, but you're still completely in filth and dirt. And that doesn't work. It's an impossible work. The communist ethical writers describe the true virtues of the new man as this: trustworthiness, kindness, readiness to pardon and forgive, patience, modesty, and purity of heart. That is essentially the list that Paul gave us. It's very close to the list that Paul gave us. And that's the, you know, the communist goal is for people to be like that. But they've never created this new man. This new person has never been created by that philosophy, by that ethical system, and no other. Don't get me wrong, no other. It's not just communism. Confucianism also didn't. So why? Well, the whole Bible tells us that only by the grace and salvation of God, we can be created a new person. And that's why Paul says, put on the new self. Because that new self was created to be like God. God can do these things. God can live in perfect unity. God can be always forgiven. And so on and so forth. And so by God's grace and through his salvation in Jesus Christ, we are transformed. We cannot do this on our own. We receive a new identity and we become a new self. When we receive a new identity, we then become a new self. So no person, no Jew, no pagan, no Christian or no non-Christian has the power to will into existence the new self and its virtues. It can only come when we rely on God's Spirit to walk in a manner worthy of Christ. As Paul said over and over and over, walk in a manner worthy of Christ. But first you have to be in Christ, sit in Christ, then you walk like Christ. So let's pray, thanking God for his grace and that he's given us, but also asking him into our lives so that we can have this new identity and this our identity change. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have never required us to be tested on something that we cannot do. There's nothing like that in you, Lord. And thank you so much for the words of the Apostle Paul that have told us, that have shown us, Lord, that we are now new creations. We are now in this new identity as new persons, new self. And that is not our work, Lord. Thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much for making us this new person. And this new person, Lord, we thank you that is free from fear of the future. Free, Lord, of all the fears that is plaguing the people around us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that because of that, now we can live not for ourselves anymore, but we can live for the benefit of others, Lord, outwardly. Be for the other, Lord, just like you are, Lord. You're always for us. You're always laying down yourself for us. Thank you that you have given in us, Lord, now this new self and the power to live this new self. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.